This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of VSiN Prime Time here on this Monday post NBA Finals day, night, however you want to define it. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Got baseball going on across the league tonight, and right now, Yankees have a 1-0 lead over the Cincinnati Reds after three innings. That's our VSiN primetime game of the night. Aaron Judge hitting a home run. And I saw our friend Doug Kazarian put out on social media, Will, two outs, no men on, and you pitch to Judge. This is idiotic. Agree or disagree by the Reds' decision to pitch to Aaron Judge?
Yeah, I agree. I've said it numerous times the past couple of years. I mean, I know Stanton's behind him now, but look, it's Aaron Judge versus anybody else. I'll just take my chances with anybody else, given the situation is appropriate. Two out, nobody on. 3-1 count. You're behind in the count, too. So I can't live with challenging that guy. I'd rather just have him take ball four, walk to first base, as opposed to him watching him hit the ball 9 miles and jog around the bases and change the score. And that's the only run for the Yankees so far. Frustrating here for the over because they had first and third, one out in the second, didn't score. Man on third, one out in the third, didn't score. So not a good recipe here for the over. And Winans is actually pitching pretty well here for the Yankees in his Yankee debut after coming up for the minor. So a lot of time left, but certainly not the start I'm looking for here. 1-0 heading into the fourth.
Yeah, total down to 7.5 there at Great American Ballpark. Yankees out to a -214 favorite. Orioles and Rangers was the first game of the night, and that right now is 4-0. Jackson Holliday having himself quite the day as he has 4 RBI and a 3-run homer. The Braves have extended their lead to 3-0. They're -740 favorites over the New York Mets. The Diamondbacks strike first on the road in Chicago against the White Sox. They lead 2-0 there. The Pirates lead the Brewers 1-0. They're out to a -194 favorite. And the Cubs and Cardinals just underway, scoreless. That one in the bottom of the second inning. We got games still to come tonight. Two games, one in LA with the Angels and Red Sox, one in San Diego with the Padres and the Nationals. We'll get to that as the show goes on. But Will, with the NBA in the rear view, we've got the draft coming up on Wednesday. Cooper Flagg expected to go to the Dallas Mavericks, and then Dylan Harper expected to go to San Antonio. At three, that's where it gets kind of interesting with Philadelphia. What do they decide to do? Do they stick and pick? Do they take someone like VJ Edgecombe? Do they get a sharpshooter like Con Knipple? We'll see what they ultimately decide to do there with the number three overall pick. VJ Edgecombe, as you see here on the screen, he is your betting favorite. Ace Bailey from Rutgers has been dropping like a rock in all of these mock drafts that are out there. Trey Johnson, an elite shooter out of Texas, +475 to go third. But you had mentioned it in the first hour, so let's bring the tease home here, Will. You do have some interest for some long shots in the futures market heading into 2025, 2026. So as we look at the landscape next year, who's jumping out to you as a little interesting?
You know what? We've done enough shows together and we got a lot of time to kill here over these next few hours. What? Take a guess. Why don't you try to guess? Get inside my sick mind, my sick brain, and try to just guess. I don't think you'll get it, but it's not unreasonable. Hopefully once I make my case.
All right. So I was going to say,
you want a hint?
All right. My initial thought was maybe the Raptors. You keep hearing that the Raptors are, you know, lurking around, making a possible move, but Durant's already been moved to Houston, so no, that's probably not likely. Are you looking at the Hawks at 45-1?
No, but you're in the right neighborhood. I'll make a case for the Sixers.
Oh, God.
As I just duck at the incoming. I know. I get it. Trust me, I get it. But that's something. First of all, we're in the right conference, the East, where, you know what? You squint hard enough and you can talk yourself into, hey, why can't we be the two seed or the three seed and we're in the conference finals and who knows? There's a lot of talent. I mean, Maxey, McLean, Paul George was probably going to give them something, probably better than what he was last year. If you could ever get Embiid in a position where, you know what, we'll see in New Year's that your season starts February 1st, January 1st, we'll play a game a week, maybe two games a week. And by the time that we're in the playoffs, almost like ramping up a starting pitcher where we'll start you with 50 pitches and 65. Then by the playoffs, you know, you get 100, you ramp up Embiid, you add the third pick. I mean, they've had a bunch of 50-something win seasons. I know Embiid you know, the weight, the injury, all of that stuff. I think if you nurture him properly and you load manage him, it's possible at 35-1 they have a bounce back season, and they're, you know, I don't think they're actually going to win a title, but you get them in the conference finals and you're in a position at 35-1 to hedge that ticket. So that's when I thought about Cavs at 9-1 we might be overthinking it and just, hey, it's the Cavs. They, you know, got upset by the Pacers. They were hurt. Garland was hurt. Pacers had a great comeback. Just an incredible run for the Pacers overall. They ran into a buzzsaw. Maybe the Cavs can finish the job. So them at 9-1, not the worst bet. So I'm curious what you think of those two. And, you know, having said all of that, is this a Kansas City Chiefs situation where you just take OKC? I know you don't want to tie up your money for a full year at plus 250 or so, but if you're not worried about the bankroll management or you bet it on credit or whatever, taking OKC at plus 250 and just putting it in your pocket is probably not the worst idea, just because they've got picks coming to them. The whole team is under contract. Jalen Williams and Holmgren, their second and third best player, those guys are in their third year. I mean, they were in the 2022 draft. Those guys are going to get better. SGA is not going to get worse. He might even get a little better, maintain his status. I just think, I know we said this with Denver 2 years ago. If you would ask me after Jokic and Denver won the title, hey, they're in great shape to win it again. They got the best player. He's young. They can repeat. This time last year, all the Celtics, Tatum and Brown, they're in their prime. They can repeat. That being said, this feels different. They've got so many picks. They've got guys, you know, Topic overseas coming. They're going to get better. Maybe they understand now, all right, we've been in the playoffs. We know what it takes. We've won. Maybe they're less hungry in the regular season, but who is beating that team in the playoffs? So I said a lot there. What do you like, dislike in terms of my thought process?
Well, let's just talk Oklahoma City real quickly. Mitch Lawrence, by the way, going to join us coming up in less than 10 minutes. So OKC, when you look at the numbers, and I know a lot of people are getting all fired up about the numbers and how they're not that good and all this and that, whatever. The numbers are what they were, and they're the champions of the NBA. So as you mentioned, everyone's coming back, and Nikola Topic was a guy that many people believe could be a top five pick. He had a torn ACL. The Thunder said, "Eh, why not? We'll take him in the back end of the lottery." I would love, and you know, leave it to me to give advice to Sam Presti, who is the GM of the year and the architect of a teardown that took what, 2 years to get them back into the playoffs. So I don't think Sam Presti needs my advice, but wouldn't it be great if you're Oklahoma City? And you watched last night, and the defense is so ridiculously good. And to your point, Chet's only going to get better. Jalen Williams is only going to get better. This team is going to continue to get better at the young age, right? But wouldn't it be great to just see them say, you know what? We've got all these picks. Let's be aggressive. And maybe they like a Con Knipple or a Trey Johnson to get an elite shooter in that offense, because how many open looks were there, not only last night, Will, but throughout the playoffs, and there were a lot of missed open shots. You know, last night I was thinking to myself, because I put in a little bet, and I want to get your thoughts on it. I did it on Saturday where I took SGA to win finals MVP, and I paired it with LSU to win the College World Series, and I'm sitting there, and I'm feeling good about SGA winning the MVP as long as they win the game. And they're just clanking three after three after three. Put an elite three-point shooter on that roster, and how different does it look? So I would love Sam Presti to be aggressive here and say, you know what? I love one of these guys, whether it's Knipple or Trey Johnson, whatever it is. Just have a package that someone, the Philadelphia 76ers, producer Justin there, said, we can't turn this down. And he goes up and gets one of these, you know, big time shooters. I think that would be kind of a ballsy type of move from Sam Presti after they win the title to say, yeah, bleep it. We want to win more titles. So I would love to see them be aggressive in the draft with all of these picks.
Would be a lot of fun. And we could talk about some draft here coming up. And it is weird just to have it so condensed when you're, I mean, think about if you're a Pacers or Thunder executive, you're sitting there game seven, everything you work for is right here. We're either going to win the championship or lose game seven. And you can't really focus on that. I mean, you got to be doing your work here, getting ready for a draft. It's just a strange scenario to only have 2 days off in between all of it happening in a 3-4 day span here. But I don't know. It'd be fun. I totally agree. And they have the flexibility to do that. I haven't heard that rumored, that whispered. No. That being said, it doesn't feel like Presti's nature. It feels like he just likes to keep.
I know.
What's the expression? The powder dry, the powder.
Think about.
I don't know why it's powder and why it's dry or whatever, but he likes to keep the powder dry. they haven't been aggressive at these past trade deadlines. It was little move here, little move there. They got criticized for it last year. Had they lost last night, they would have gotten criticized for it this year. It's funny how that works. Now everyone's going to be okay with it. But it's just, it hasn't been their nature. It doesn't seem like Giannis or any of these guys. It seems like we like our flexibility. I'm sure if you're a GM and you're pressed, you think, I want as many picks as possible because I'm good at drafting. So I want as many, you know, I want as many at-bats as possible because I'm a good hitter. So what you're saying is fascinating. I don't know if it'll happen, but a lot to sink your teeth into here with the NBA, the draft, the Durant trade. So we could talk more hoops here after the break.
They have 15, 25, 44 this year. They have their picks next year. They have an unprotected of the Clippers. They have a top four protected of Houston, which will convey. They have a top eight protected of Utah, which probably won't convey. And then a top four protected of Philadelphia next year as well. They have so many damn picks. It is it's wild what they've got there in their back pocket. But one thing I do want to discuss, and we'll do this after Mitch Lawrence joins us in 5 minutes. I couldn't believe the price discrepancy between SGA to win NBA Finals MVP and the money line. To me, rarely do I say it, Will, where I'm
I agree.
This is mispriced. It was 70 cents different. It was ridiculous. I mean,
I said the same thing. Completely agree.
I was like, 100%. Jalen Williams is not winning NBA Finals MVP. I get it. He had that 40-point game, but it was – that was a misprice. It really was. And ultimately, it came home. Hey, folks, if you're betting on sports, why not try The Races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use the promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Once again, firstbet.com. Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM NBA Radio. Next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling here on a Monday evening. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Our VSiN Primetime game of the night at Great American Ballpark, Ellie De La Cruz at the plate right now as the Yankees lead 1-0. The lone run coming courtesy of an Aaron Judge homer. So we will keep our eyes on that one. But as we continue to take a step back from what we saw last night in Oklahoma City and look ahead, we bring in Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM's NBA Radio, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. And, you know, Mitch, a lot has been discussed, obviously, about the Halliburton injury. But let's start with the champs in Oklahoma City. They get it done. Sam Presti, a marvelous job rebuilding this team as quickly as he did. The trades, the draft picks, everything hitting. Now it's full steam ahead. They're the betting favorite, as you would imagine, to win the title again. Do you see tweaks coming for this Thunder team, or are they just going to roll it back out there in 2026?
I think you could see some tweaks coming because, you know, listen, they won 68 games, 84 total, but you saw in some spots in the playoffs that, yeah, there could be improvement. You know, when they were down in games, they didn't have any three-point shooting. And that's what everybody uses, obviously, to make these ridiculous historic comebacks that we see all the time that are getting to be so commonplace. So I think, and I think you guys were talking about it in the last segment, and I agree, and I've been looking at that. Their offense bogged down at points, and they've got to get some better shooters there, and they've got to get some guys with some range who can hit threes so they can have some comebacks, because some of those games in the playoffs against Indiana, Denver, whatever, those were sorely lacking in that offense, even with SGA and Jalen Williams, wasn't a real great offensive machine. It wasn't certainly like a Golden State Warrior team when they had Curry and Durant, and that's a high standard, I understand. But even other previous champions of just the recent past, not as good. So, yeah, I don't think Sam is going to rest on his laurels. He's not that type to me. And by the way, I know you guys are looking at this rebuild in the short term. I look at it from the day they lost Kevin Durant for nothing. And that was, what, 2017, 2016,
yep.
I believe, right? That summer. That's like 9 years. And for that market to be able to rebuild basically – and when now, you know, SGA is what, a number 11 overall pick, and Jalen Williams is a number 12 overall pick, and we know how they got SGA. That is some great moves, obviously. Those are great moves by Sam Presti. So I think it took a little bit longer because historically, when an Orlando loses a Shaquille O'Neal or an Oklahoma City loses a player of Kevin Durant's stature, they don't get anything in return. Those rebuildings are very, they can be lengthy. And let's, you know, remember, these are not free agent destinations we're talking about. So Sam did a great job. But, yeah, I think this team needs some definitely needs some tweaks, some changes, and some things that are going to make them even better and harder to beat.
This time 2 years ago, we would have said, all right, Nuggets and Jokic off a title. They're in good shape to repeat. Didn't happen. Haven't even gotten to a conference final since.
Yep.
This time last year, the Celtics, oh, Tatum and Brown, they're in their prime. They're in good shape to repeat. That being said, this it's not easy. It always looks easy in the moment. That being said, this feels different with OKC. Let me ask it this way. If I said the next, I don't know, 8-10 years, over under 2.5 total championships, will include the one last night. SGA, over under 2.5 championships. Over, under? What are we looking under at here in terms of an OKC run?
Under. Okay. Listen. As much as I like SGA and these guys, you never know what's going to happen. Last night, I have never remembered. I've been watching the NBA since the 60s, guys. I don't remember a game seven of a finals where a finals MVP candidate got knocked out in the first quarter and totally changed the whole complexion of the game. If that had been a close game down the stretch, and listen, I like what SGA has done, but the best player on the court in late game situations in the 2025 playoffs was Tyrese Halliburton. And so I thought Indiana had a great chance to upset Oklahoma City, a 68 win team, and add to their list, you know, like beating Cleveland, beating the Knicks, stealing games like game one of the finals. And SGA and Halliburton, excuse me, is the big reason for it. He's the guy who makes them go. And when they lost that, that was it. So, listen, Oklahoma City's going to have to contend with teams in the West, too. Don't forget, the Spurs have Victor, Big Victor, and they're building, they're going to build a hell of a team. You know they will, because they've done that in the past with Tim Duncan, with David Robinson. We'll see how great Victor is, but all, you know, all indications are you got Minnesota. You still have Denver with Jokic. The West is murderous. That's why it made no sense for me, for Kevin Durant, to go to Houston. You should have gone east to Detroit or gone to New York, because the West is just a minefield. Now you got the East, which is up for grabs, because Halliburton's probably going to be out for a year. And look, Tatum's not going to be back for Boston for a long time, whether it's, you know, in the regular season or playoffs. So the West is going to be murder as usual. Oklahoma City, I've got to go under that 2.5 figure.
Once again, Mitch Lawrence joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. You can catch him on SiriusXM's NBA radio. Mitch, you mentioned it with Tyrese Halliburton, the expected news, torn Achilles, more than likely going to be out the entire year next year. Jason Tatum out for the majority of all of next year, if not all of it. Same for Damian Lillard. So when you look at the Eastern Conference, it does feel like it's kind of up for grabs. Cleveland had their big year before flaming out in the postseason. The Knicks obviously make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Do you think there is a sneaky long shot opportunity out there in the Eastern Conference? How do you think this conference plays out next year?
Detroit, Orlando. And just going back, I just want, you know, the point I want to make was you always have to worry about injuries,
sure,
right? These are what we're seeing in this NBA now, unfortunately, where the premier players are going down, like Halliburton, like Tatum, in these playoffs. So I don't want to see anything bad happen to SGA or any of these guys in Oklahoma City. We know Chet Holmgren has been, you know, he had to recover from a 50-game absence. But getting back to you, so that's also a stumble. That's a potential stumbling block for Oklahoma City. In terms of these, Detroit, Orlando are the obvious choices of the up-and-coming rising young teams with the young stars, Cade Cunningham and Bancaro for Orlando. Now they get Desmond Bane. Those are the type of teams that they got to be looking at it saying, you know what, we can really take advantage of the situation now. Halliburton's down for Indiana. That'll be a setback for Rick Carlisle and his team. Boston, they're not going to be as good without Jason Tatum. You know, Milwaukee is a kind of a state of who knows what. I mean, Giannis isn't going anywhere. He's not going to get traded for at least a year. And but they have to tweak that roster, more than tweak it. They got to make some good changes for Giannis there. And then, you know, the team and the Knicks, we don't even know who's coaching the team. And if you think they're going to get a coach for the next level, as the old saying goes, the next level might be a level down from Tom Thibodeau. They won their most playoff games, guys, since they went to the finals in 1999. They won 10. And here they fire Tom, and they're leaking out all this stuff about, you know, late game situations. They didn't practice and he didn't communicate, blah, blah, blah. It's a results-oriented business for me. You get to a conference finals for the first time in over two decades. You're doing a hell of a job. Now, who are they going to replace him with? I don't know. It might not be an improvement. That's my point. So, yeah, the East is kind of open. And the other team that nobody talks about because it was such a disaster last year was Philadelphia. With the third pick in the draft, with the guys that they had, will they move Paul George to Utah? There's a lot of questions about them, a lot of work for Daryl Morey to do. So that's a team nobody's talking about. But obviously with Embiid and guys like that, Tyrese Maxey, you have to always consider what can Philadelphia do to turn around their fortunes.
A lot of people crushing the Suns for the lack of return on Durant. I don't really see it that way. I didn't expect him to get much. He's older. He's moody. There's only a couple places he really wanted to go. You wouldn't want to trade for him if he doesn't want to go to your place. That being said, what did you make of the return here for Durant from a Suns standpoint?
Not great, obviously, but you're right. I mean, he played it. He dictated the terms. He was only going to go to a certain stops. I guess the Spurs didn't even make an offer. And I'm not surprised because I don't think they want to get involved with Kevin. And you mentioned he's not happy. I call him the unhappy wanderer. He's just a guy who, you know, listen, to me, he made the biggest mistake you can make when he decided I'm going to pick Kyrie Irving over Steph Curry. And that'll help me win more titles starting in Brooklyn. It hasn't gotten any better for Kevin after that. And it'll make Houston a better team. Don't get me wrong. He's going to make them an offensive team that we haven't seen from Houston in a while because they were all helter-skelter and kind of a mess last year. We saw that throughout the season in the little playoff run that they had. They need offensive stability, someone who can get them good shots and not just throw the ball around willy-nilly. And so we'll see how good Houston is. But to me, that's not you figure Phoenix will get more, but it's hard when he is basically holding the cards and dictating the terms. They're not getting the King's ransom that they might have gotten years ago.
You can catch him on SiriusXM's NBA radio as well as Mad Dog Radio. He is Mitch Lawrence at Mitch_Lawrence on social media. Mitch, appreciate it as always.
Tim, well, thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Mitch. Great job.
Joining us there. Woo! We go. We have a good guest on, Will. And the Yankees don't do good things. 3-1 Reds now have the lead and also a homer in the Twin Cities. We'll get you updated on all of the Major League Baseball action on the other side of the break. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime alongside virtually Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Whew, get you updated on what's going on across Major League Baseball. Our VSiN Primetime game of the night, the Reds and the Yankees. The Yankees struck first. Aaron Judge, all rise. 28th homer of the season. That came in the top of the first inning. Since then, it's been a big fat goose egg for the Yankees, Will Hill. And then in the bottom of the fourth inning, the Reds were able to plate three runs. You got an Ellie De La Cruz RBI triple. Then he scored on a sac fly. And then Gavin Lux went yard as well. So this is good for your over, as you do have over 10 runs. And it was not off to a promising start. Right now, live market sits at 9.5 as the Reds have a 3-1 lead. And the Reds, a -288 favorite. So if you think the Yankees can battle back, they're at +210 right now at DraftKings.
Yeah, and the good thing about having a round number of 10, if it's ever 5-5, well, we know the game can't end on 10, so somebody's got to score an 11th run if you can ever get it to that. We're just kind of watching out of the corner of my eye here. I saw the Yankees had a man on first, and somebody hit a ball to the wall. Looked like had a chance to either get off of or over the wall with nobody out, but looked like the right fielder for the Reds made a nice catch up against the wall.
It was Paul Goldschmidt hit a line drive to right, and it was a great play. It looked like it initially looked like it might be a homer, and at worst, double or something like that off the wall, but it was a tremendous play out in right field by, I think it's, Jake Fraley out there in right field. So Reds still lead 3-1, top of the fifth inning, Great American Ballpark. We'll see if the Yankees can battle back. Cody Bellinger at the plate here in the top of the fifth inning. Reds right now with that 2-run lead. Hopefully more runs still to come. The game that almost, Will, was our game of the night. We've got Reds and Cardinals and Cubs, I beg your pardon. And we have now got a run on the board. Looks like a homer was just hit in St. Louis, as I believe it was. Let me double check my notes here. Yeah, I think it was
Berkman.
I think, did you say Lance Berkman?
Yeah, keeping you on your toes if you're paying attention.
Lars Nootbaar has gone yard. Two-run shot there, and the Cardinals lead 2-0. Shout out to Rice, Lance Berkman.
Yes, yes. And we mentioned earlier on in the show that the ball might be carrying here around the country, just warm weather, perfect environment for hitting. I'm watching TVs kind of off to the side here, but Nootbaar really kind of off balance swing, went down and got it. And you look up and it's like 20 rows deep. That ball had some carry to it. So that was a 2-run shot, right? 2-0 yep. Here is they hit a line drive right at somebody here for the Cubs. Cubs get out of the inning without further damage. So we had a nice little pitcher's duel here. Ben Brown has been kind of up and down. Liberatore, who's had, you know, breakout season here. Not great swing and miss stuff, but he's been effective for the Cardinals. So Cardinals on the board here, 2-0, what was a good pitching duel heading into this inning.
No home run yet from Cal Raleigh, but Julio Rodriguez has hit a two-run homer, I beg your pardon, to made it 3-0. And then it was not Cal Raleigh, it was Luke Raley, who hit a 3-run shot as the Mariners lead 6-0 right now in Minneapolis. The Twins over the weekend got swept by the Brewers. That was a rough go of it over the weekend. They lost 17-6 on Friday night. They lost 9-0 on Saturday, and they almost battled back to get the win yesterday, but a sweep at the hands of the Brewers over the weekend. And boy, look at the Twins. Remember when they got off to that red hot start? They had that long winning streak, right? And ultimately, they have been struggling quite mightily here. They are now down to 37-40 and down 6-0 here in the third inning.
Yeah, and it looked like Pittsburgh is adding to their lead. Tommy Pham jogging around the bases. Looks like he went deep. Looks like a 2-run homer, so that would make it 3-0 Pittsburgh. So, again, not a ton of offense. Not like all these games are high scoring, but just watching, you know, with the weather and the way the ball should be carrying tonight, not surprised that you're going to see some homers here as Pham kind of goes opposite field, right center field here. He put a good swing on that. So 3-0 Pirates there. They were a big underdog in that game.
Braxton Ashcraft on the hill for the Pirates so far. 3 scoreless innings for him as the Pirates, as mentioned, now up 3-0. Tommy Pham, his first home run of the season. And you're looking at your live line. You know, sometimes you say things on these shows and you're happy you didn't bet it, because I was like, oh, you know, maybe the Brewers would be a good price down 1-0 going to the bottom of the first. Well, now you can get that plus 272 after giving up that 2-run homer. So the Pirates with a 3-0 lead in that one. I want to play you a clip. We'll do this on the other side of the break from our good friend Paul Charchian, as he had a long shot for NFL Offensive Player of the Year. So I want to play you that clip. But I also want to play you a little Rick Carlisle, because, look, it was not an ideal scene post game. You lose game 7. Obviously that is going to sting, but you lose your best player. That's going to sting even more. You saw the videos of him on crutches waiting outside the locker room, TJ McConnell in tears as he walked up, knowing that he couldn't bring home your 141 ticket. He was really torn up about that one, Will. but let's hear from Rick Carlisle regarding Tyrese Halliburton's injury. This was Carlisle from last night after the 103-91 loss by the Pacers.
What happened with Tyrese is all of our hearts dropped, but he will be back. I don't have any medical information about what may or may not have happened, but he'll be back in time. And situation like this, you just I believe he'll make a full recovery. So he authored one of the great individual playoff runs in the history of the NBA.
So the Pacers right now, to win the Eastern Conference, have the 8th longest odds. They're at 22-1 to win the Eastern Conference. So the question we had posed, and we've asked, we just asked Mitch Lawrence, you've had an answer. I'm just looking at conference odds, not title odds.
Yeah.
I think the Pistons at 16-1 are kind of fascinating to me. You know, you look at the young core that they got. Could they make a move here in the offseason? You get Jaden Ivey returning from injury. Maybe they're going to be the popular team. I don't know. But you think back to the series they had with the Knicks. They lose in six, but they were feisty in that series. For me, as I look at the Eastern Conference odds, I think if I were to make one bet, I think I would take the Pistons at 16-1 as that long shot. Because I do think, man, and you, to your point about the OKC, you know, are we overthinking it? Maybe it's Cleveland. Maybe we're overthinking it. Or New York, yeah. Right? Those are the two rightful favorites. But I don't know. I think the Pistons, they could be interesting to see what they ultimately do here moving forward with a couple pieces coming back. Obviously, their odds would have been massively shorter if they had, you know, made the deal to go out and get someone like Kevin Durant. But I don't know. Maybe they get I'm trying to think of who maybe they could they could go out and ultimately get. But I think that the Pistons might be an aggressive team and see maybe a Lauri Markkanen from the Jazz. He could be a piece on the move. Zach had mentioned that right earlier in the show.
Yeah.
So I think the Pistons, if I'm looking at that long shot for me, would probably be the one that I would look at in the Eastern Conference.
60-1 to win the whole thing at DraftKings. Not terrible. Made dumber bets than the Pistons at 60-1. Your points are well taken about they played the Knicks well. All of that. And the more we talk it through, like I mentioned, I like the Sixers. Just I don't like the Sixers. Who could ever like the Sixers? You don't trust them. And Embiid, Paul George, I don't like them. I like the number. Yeah. I see the upside and who knows. That's a team I'm looking to probably just stick and pick, as they say, and draft third. But if they, you know, found an asset they like, they have maneuverability to go for it. That's dangerous with Embiid and George at this stage of the career, but who knows with Morey. But I think, you know, again, the more we talk about it, Cleveland, 850, 9-1 to win the whole thing. They crushed everybody in the East this year. That's when the East had their players. That's when they had Tatum. That's when they had, you know, Halliburton. They were right there. They were, you know, not favored because of the Celtics or the Celtics, but the East was much stronger, much healthier with all these players healthy, and they dominated. Okay, they had an odd series against Indy. They lost. They'll regroup. They were beat up, but maybe they're just right back, and we're overthinking it with them. And it is, man, you mentioned those Pacers odds. It is cruel to think. Ugh. So you said 22 to win the East. So what? They're probably in the 50-60 to 1 range to win the whole thing. That's next year. They were up a few points in game 7 of the final. So they're 1 win away. They were probably, you know, 2-1 to win it last night. They're 2-1, 1 win away. They lose that. And all of a sudden their best players hurt. And you look up and they're 60-1 a year from now. And who knows if, when the hell they'll ever be back. It's just, sports can be really, really cruel.
They're up by 1 at halftime in game 7 of the NBA finals.
Yeah, good point.
And now they're 80-1 to win the title the next year. 80-1, man. That's harsh. That is as brutal as it comes when you look at it, when you think of it that way. The Cubs have scored, so they've cut the deficit down to 1. They've got men on first and second, top of the 5th inning there at Busch Stadium. Still 3-1 in Cincinnati. All right. Hey, folks, just a reminder, what a great deal we've got to come hang out with me here at Circa. All in Circa Las Vegas getaway, just $400. You get a 2-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your very own day bed at Stadium Swim. It's all for $400, resort fees and taxes included. This limited time offer is through September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all in summer package now. CircaLasVegas.com.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Busy night of Major League Baseball. Big jam for the St. Louis Cardinals, and they're able to get out of it. Bases loaded, one out. And Liberatore able to induce a double play ball, I believe a 5-4-3 double play. So the Cardinals get out of a big jam. They do give up one run in that inning as Pete Crow Armstrong did score. Did you know Pete Crow Armstrong's mom was the mom in Little Big League.
I didn't know that. I thought you were going to go with some Sheryl Crow, Lance Armstrong reference, which I've heard people make the joke that he's the kid of those two, which isn't true, but doesn't always matter on the internet. You just say it and it's out there. But no, so his, say that one more time. His mom was the mom in Little Big League. Okay, I was thinking for whatever reason, Rookie of the Year and Rosengarten. But that's an interesting little factoid. I didn't know that. Did you know he got traded from the Mets for Javi Baez? That's a bad one if you're the Mets. Got to look at that guy in your league for the next 8-10 years for a 2-month rental with Baez, where Baez came, he was booing the fans, he didn't help you get in the playoffs, and he give away an MVP candidate going forward. That's a tough one.
Yeah, Ashley Crow. The actress, okay. His mom, and she was the mom in Little Big. I just watched Rookie of the Year the other day with my little guy. We watched Rookie of the Year, and we watched Sandlot over the weekend. So in that primo age, Will, where we're hitting the good ones. So I'm excited.
Okay, I've got some Rookie of the Year takes. It's a slow summer night. I've got a couple takes. I watched it recently too. That's a weird dynamic between. The mom's boyfriend,
oh, yeah.
And the mom's boyfriend starts to take over and control things. And the mom's boyfriend, the mom hits the boyfriend, and the boyfriend is like controlling the contract. He doesn't have to go through a draft. There's some strange stuff. There's some loopholes in the story too. So
yes.
I don't know. Maybe we could do a Rookie of the Year podcast later or something.
Yes. The old arm tendons making him throw 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. That too. Yes.
Him hitting, I thought was an interesting dynamic. Yes. What they said, they sold him to the Yankees. I believe that was what they were going to do. I was like, doesn't really check out all that much there, but I would say Sandlot a little bit higher than Rookie of the Year. Rewatching Rookie of the Year, Barry Bonds makes an appearance in Rookie of the Year.
Yes, a much thinner Barry Bonds. Yeah. Who else was in? Was it Pete and Cavilla was up there as the hitter? I'm not sure. Gary Busey in it. There were some good cameos,
and. And Marv from Home Alone, Daniel Stern I think he directed the movie. Yeah, it was his.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was his movie. He's the pitching coach.
Yes.
Call it Hot Ice.
Yes.
Speaking of Marv, Moneyline Marv chimes in on Twitter and he says, Pistons versus Magic, Eastern Conference Final, exacta. Book it when you see it. All right, Moneyline Marv, we'll tag it, and we will keep our eyes out for a Pistons Magic. We'll call it the Grant Hill Bowl, right? Because Grant Hill, once upon a time, a Piston, and then got the lucrative deal to go down to Orlando. Him and Tracy McGrady, they were going to run things down in Mickey World, but unfortunately, my favorite childhood player got a little too banged up. Tracy McGrady was awesome in Orlando, though.
Who's your favorite childhood player? Was it Grant Hill?
Grant Hill, yeah.
Yeah, he was good, man. He was really good. That's one.
He was the next top Jordan,
five
right?
athletes of, yeah, that's a top five, if he were healthy kind of guy. I think probably Ken Griffey Jr.'s on that list. Grant Hill's on that list. You probably tweet at us if you think of any others. And there's probably some I'm not thinking of. Penny Hardaway.
Can you put Bo Jackson extent, on that list?
Yeah, probably.
The hip? Probably. If he doesn't get the hip rolled up on, what is he going to be in baseball? What's he going to be in football? Ellie De La Cruz gets a RBI. Is this going to be a two-run single or just an RBI single? Looks like an RBI single. So good for your over. 4-1 now, and the base is still loaded there in New York. And Aaron Boone, just a moment ago, did make a pitching change. So the Cincinnati Reds adding to their lead here against the New York Yankees as they lead 4-1. Bases still loaded in the bottom of the fifth inning. Pirates leading the Brewers 3-0. That was probably the biggest dog on the board here this evening. Yeah. That is playing right now because still to come, Washington at San Diego. San Diego around a minus $1.80 or so favorite against the Nationals. We can get to that game here in just a little bit. But yes, the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight went off at around plus 145. I was interested to note from open to close, we actually did see Pittsburgh get a little bit of support in the betting market. And right now they do have a 3-0 lead. You know, we were just talking about some long shots for the NBA next year, and we're getting to that point in the year where I've got a couple of long shots from a standpoint of rookie of the year bets that I talked about on the VSiN weekend morning line, but I had not ventured into offensive player of the year market. And I had Paul Charchian on, fantasy guru, fantasy OG, and he popped in studio, Will, over the weekend with me. And this is what he had to say to me about a long shot bet in the offensive player of the year market.
All right. You've intrigued me on some possible long shot angles. And look, it's June 21st. Long shots are a nice way to go. Yeah. Right after the draft, I threw in a couple offensive rookie of the year long shots. But I want to start offensive player of the year. I don't have any bets in this market, and maybe you can convince me of one. So you were looking down the odds board, and you were intrigued at a 50-1 shot at offensive player of the year. Who jumps out to you?
And I think you can find value in that price range where you can find really good players that you can make a case for explosive seasons that can realistically hit a 40, 50, or 75-1 kind of shot. In this case, first guy, Bucky Irving, the running back for Tampa Bay. Bucky Irving's rookie season, nothing short of astounding. Yeah. I believe just as a pure runner, and he can catch, by the way, he's not Christian McCaffrey, but he can catch. As a pure runner, Bucky Irving is the best runner in the NFL across the board. He gives you everything. He gives you power. He gives you elusiveness. He ranked number one in broken tackle rate among players with at least his number of carries. And he, you know, what we saw over the course of the season, he started out as a little bit of a role player. And then over time, Liam Cohen's like, I found our guy. And he went right to, you know, by the end of the season, he was the power back for one of the best offenses in the league. So when you look at to win offensive player of the year.
Yep.
We need a running back who's going to get us 2,000 total yards. Bucky Irving has every bit the possibility to run for 1,600, catch for 400, and get you into that 2,000 range. And that 50-1 feels great for somebody who's as good as Bucky Irving is. And I think we're going to look back and go, that was a real value at some point.
There he is, Paul Charchian. This weekend with me on the VSiN weekend morning line. Before we react to that, quick update, Juan Soto has gone yard, and it is now 3-2 in New York, Citi Field, as Soto and the Mets trail by one after six innings. The Arizona Diamondbacks have added to the lead. They lead 7-0 over the White Sox. So curious your thoughts on this, just from a long shot standpoint, because player of the year is kind of a fascinating market. Because you look at the last two winners, Saquon last year, Christian McCaffrey in 2023. Prior to that, you had two wide receivers. You had Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp. And then before that, in the COVID season, it was Derrick Henry when he was down with Tennessee. So Saquon is your favorite at plus 650. Then it's Jamar Chase and Jahmyr Gibbs. As you look at the offensive player of the year market, Will, anybody initially kind of pique your interest in that market?
He made a pretty compelling case there for Bucky Irving. I completely agree. You get the ball in his hands. He is very good. He's very dangerous. And, you hit on it. It's a confusing market, isn't it? Because it used to be, I think it's transformed into, it's basically the best non-quarterback. It used to be you could win both. I think it was, there was like a five-year stretch where you had three quarterbacks. Mahomes won it in 2018. He got MVP and Offensive Player of the Year. And then you had Cam Newton and you had Matt Ryan, all from like 2000 and, 14 to 2018. There's like a 5-6 year stretch where you had three quarterbacks sweep, win MVP, and win Offensive Player of the Year. Voters have kind of gotten away from that, which I don't get, where it's like, all right, if you're good enough to be the MVP, why are you not Offensive Player of the Year? It's strange, the interpretation of the awards, but I do think it's transformed into, all right, the MVP is for the quarterback. The Offensive Player of the Year is for like the best slash wide receiver slash running back. So that being said, probably – I know you get some good numbers on quarterbacks. It's probably not a good idea to take a shot on a quarterback, even though Mahomes, Allen, some of these best quarterbacks, if they put up a great, great year, could they win both and sweep at ridiculous odds? Those are always tempting to me. I know we're running up against it, so I'm curious what you think if you had to play anybody here.
How about we channel it? And we'll talk about it on the other side of the break. We'll also get you updated on all the baseball action that's going on as things are heating up. And speaking of heating up, how about this offer? Time's running out to win a free entry into Circa Survivor or Circa Million contests with proxy service included. That's 21 million guaranteed bucks up for grabs. Deadline to enter is this Wednesday, June 25th at 11:59 p.m. Go to winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN to enter. winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN for your chance to have a free entry into either Circa Millions or Circa Survivor.